To Psalms chapter number 143. Psalms chapter number 143 is where we'll be at this morning. Man, y'all either must be very scared of me or y'all, I think I have bad breath because everybody's sitting so far back this morning. Did I not take a shower this morning or smell bad? No, I'm kidding. I'm glad everybody's here and hope you've had a great week, like I said earlier. But Psalms chapter number 143, and I love the song that Alan sang. You know, that's why we are here. We're here to praise him. We're here to give him glory and honor for everything that he has done for us. And this morning, we're going to look at David. It's a prayer of revival, really, that he was praying to God. This is during the time when David was being sought after Saul. And if you remember the story, David ran from Saul for a very long time. And he continued to run and he hid in caves. He hid in a place in the desert, a wilderness that God gave him to hide and stay safe. He hid in about everything and everywhere somebody could hide from another person. And God kept him safe in everything that where he kept him. And so this morning, I want us to look at David's prayer of revival in his heart, and I want us to apply that to our lives. You know, as we look around the world today, we see mass chaos. We see division. We see a world that looks just, you know, careless. Nobody cares about anybody or cares about anything going on, it seems like. And I'm not saying that you guys don't, but it just seems like overall, people just don't care about anything no more. People don't care about each other as like they used to. But we see David here, and we see what David wants for his life. And I think that's something that we should have for our lives. So before we pray, or before we begin, let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come freely and worship, and freely open up your word. God, there's places in this world right now where people just cannot do that. God, I pray that we will have care in our hearts and concern in our hearts for people and for your upbuilding of your kingdom. God, I pray that for the next few moments that you will remove everything. Help us to forget about what's going to go on tomorrow, what's going to happen in the next few hours, but help us to study on your word. God, hide me behind your cross, Lord, and help me to say your words. God, I pray that you speak through me and use me as your mouthpiece. God, we love you and we praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm chapter number 143 says this. It says, hear my prayer. David is saying, God, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication and faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down into the ground. He hath made me to dwell in the darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. I hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know that the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me of thy way, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the upright. Quicken me, O God, for thy name's sake and thy righteous sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy them that afflict my soul. for I am thy spirit, or servant, sorry. We see here that David is praying for revival in his life. He's praying that, God, I recognize I need help. If you go back to Psalm chapter number 34, David was writing again about being hid away in this wilderness, in the desert. And he tells, and he asks God at the end of that chapter, he says, God, I recognize that you're in full control of everything, of my life, of every situation, of everything that goes on. I recognize that you are in control. The first thing that we must do is that we must recognize that God is in control of our lives, whether we like it or not. If we are part of his family and we are called to him, then we must know that he is in control of everything that we do. That's why I read this morning in Romans, everything that we do works together to the good that love him for his name's sake. For everything that we do is through him and because of him. We live because of him. We love because of him. We care because of him. David was asking that very same thing. He says in verse number 1, he says, hear my prayer. He recognizes that God needs to hear him. He recognized that he needs to have a straightening out of his life. But then in he recognizes the need that he needs to have of revival in his life. See, we all go through ups and downs in our life. This past week, I'll be honest, past week and a half, it's been rough for me. I have not felt the best. Things have just not gone the right way like I've wanted it to. It just has not seemed like it seems like everything I seem to touch, it went wrong. And I've had to ask God for help because I'm like, God, I don't know what to do from here. You're going to have to take control. And so David was in that same mindset. Because let's look at the next couple of verses and let's see what he says. In verse number 2, he says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living be justified." David says this, hey, I recognize I am not worthy of you. I am not worthy to even be called your servant. And he doesn't just say with me, he says that no man living be justified. See, we gotta come first and notice that it's not about us. We have nothing to offer God that will say that for him to say, all right, you're good. We're all just useless in his eyes. I think the Bible says in the New Testament that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you know what they used filthy rags for back then, you know that it was for leprosy. They would take those rags and they would wipe those sores and they would use them to wash themselves. And then they would hang those rags up and they were all bloody and nasty. And that's what God was referring to our righteousness as. That we're nasty people. We're broken people is what he's saying. David was recognizing that he was a broken person. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, then we're all broken people too. There's something that we all have wrong in ourselves and that we have to ask God to help us with. And then he continues going on, and in verse number 3, he says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in the darkness as those that have been long dead. So David doesn't say, hey, God, I'm not just not worthy of you, but I'm also defeated. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt defeated and down and like, you know, you're just nothing that you can do. You can get on top of anything. David was feeling that way. He was feeling defeated. Think about running for your life for years from a man who sought to kill you. David did that for a long time. And everywhere he went, he had to hide because he knew that there was people looking for him. And he says, all right, God, I know I'm defeated. He recognizes he's not only not worthy, he recognizes that he's defeated. He's not on top. But again, he recognizes he needs God. He continues on in verse number 4. He says this, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed with me. My heart within me is desolate." He says this, "I am discouraged. God, help me, I am discouraged." He was in depression at this time. Teachers in the school system, you guys know that depression is huge right now in schools. I know I deal with it on a monthly basis where a teenager comes to me and says, "Man, I'm dealing with depression right now." You know, depression right now is one of the highest killing things among teenagers. It's not what they do, but because of depression, they feel like they're alone. They feel like there's no hope for them. There's nothing to go on. They have nobody to turn to, nowhere to go. But in all reality is at some point in our lives, we all probably have some spout of depression. We all feel we're like down in the dumps and nobody cares about us. That's how the world feels today. You know, there was an atheist. He did some type of show. I forget exactly what he was doing, but one night he told people that he was an atheist. And he told people that he didn't believe in God and that he had nothing to do with. But a Christian man came to his show that night and gave him a Bible and just wrote him a personal note and said, "Just read this." That atheist read this and put out a video about this and how he said that night he didn't come to Christ. But he recognized that this, if you believe in something so much, he asked the question, "Why aren't you telling everybody about it? Why are we not having revival in our lives and telling people how good God has been to us?" And I'm starting with myself before anybody else. But why is that? Are we afraid? Are we scared? Are we down like David was? Do we just not care anymore? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. That's how David was feeling. He was getting to the point where he did not care. He didn't want to be revived at that very moment. He knew he needed it, but he didn't want it because he was okay with where he was. But in verse number 5 and verse number 6, he changes his desire. And he says this, "I remember the days of old, and I meditate on thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand, and I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah." He says this, "God, I know I'm depressed. God, I know I have hit my bottom, and I need you this very moment." We need God this morning. Our country, our community, our schools, everything in us needs God. We don't need TV. We don't need social media. We don't need fill in the blank. We need God this morning. We need God to show us His will for our lives. And Paul tells the church in Colossians, he says this, "I pray that you know the knowledge of God and that you know the will of God concerning your life." That's what we need to pray for God. That's how we start revival. It's not about you and them and those. It starts with us. It starts with us being revived. It starts with us, "Okay, God, I need you right now. I'm stretching forth to you to ask for your knowledge in my life, to ask for your will in my life." That's where it starts out. And it doesn't mean that we have to go shooting water guns at hell for it. But it does mean that we got to find out what God's will for our life is. Whether it's serving in the youth programs or whether it's being a prayer warrior or just serving God in the community. It doesn't matter where you're serving God. As long as you're serving God, that's what He wants. He wants you to be on fire for him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to be used of him. Like David, David said, all right, God, I'm trusting you. I want you to help me. Because he wanted to be used of God. Now, wait a minute. Remember all the bad things David did? He still wanted to be used of God. We do bad things every day, but God still wants to use us despite who we are. God loves us no matter what. God wants us to be used of him no matter what. But we have to be willing. We have to have a heart willing and a spirit ready to be used. And that's what David's conveying here. He wants us to be ready to be used of God. But he continues on and he continues to pray for revival, not just in his life, but in the people around him. But he says in this, in verse number 7, he says, "Hear me speedily." He doesn't say, okay, God, take your time. Okay, God, whenever you're ready. He said, God, I'm ready. You know, hear me right now at this very moment. Hear me right now. He says, hear me, O speedily, O God. My spirit faileth. Hide not my face from me. He says, God, I want you to show me your will for my life. I want you to show me what you want me to do. I want you to help me, to deliver me from my place of where I'm at right now. And he continues on and he says, let I be like them that go down into the pit, because cause me to hear of thy loving goodness in the morning. For in thee I do trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul to me. So he says this. He says, God, don't just hear from me, but show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Show me where I'm supposed to be at in my life. Use me in a way that I've never thought I could be used. That's what he wants for us to do. Yeah, this is the Old Testament. Yes, this is David praying. But God is showing us, hey, that's what we must ask of ourselves. Help us to be used of you no matter what. Wherever we can be used, however we can be used, use us, God. And you might think, well, God, I don't know where I want to be. I don't like kids, or I don't like people. Well, sometimes I don't like people either, but, you know, we all run into people each and every day. We all talk to somebody different. Who Brother Danny Childress sees is a group of people different than who I get to see every day. He can reach them where I can't. And where my wife can see these little kids, I don't get to see them, and she can reach them more than she can reach me. See, that's what it's all about, reaching the people who you're around. Just because I'm a pastor, or just because I'm out within the community, working with the community, doesn't mean I can reach everybody. It takes us all together, working as one unit, as one body together, being used of God. And that's what David's saying, use me in my part. Help me to have revival in my life so I can affect others. That's what he wants us to do. But he continues on in verse number 11. He says this, and this is something that really stuck out to me. He says, quicken me, O God, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness brings my soul out of trouble. He says, God, bring me out of the state I am, lift me up, and hide me behind you so that I can be used of you. God don't want us to sit on a pew on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and not to be used of him. He don't give us talents. He don't give us the strengths and everything, the knowledge that we have, not to be used for him. Each and every one of us has something that we could use to be used of God. And how we use it or not use it is how we have to answer to God. And the reason behind revival in our lives, the reason why we need to be used of God in our lives, is not necessarily for ourselves, not necessarily for our church or for our families, but it's for God to get the glory out of it, A. so that we can give him glory. Because let me tell you, when we get up to heaven, it's not going to be about us. I'm sorry, it's not going to be about the basketball games that we've played or how many track championships we've won or football championships or, you know, the amount of places we've been and sing or preached or the amount of toilets we've cleaned or whatever. It's all about what we've done for God. But number two, it's for the growth of his kingdom. So how is it in your life? How are you serving God this morning? Are you even serving God this morning? Miss Shirley, if you would come and get ready to play. I love David. David went through a whole lot in his life, and he was through ups and downs and did some pretty bad things in his life. But you know what? He was still used greatly by God. And I don't care what you've done or how bad you think you've been the past 6 months or how wrong you think you've been, God still can use you. God still loves you. God still wants to use you for his honor and glory. So as we stand together this morning, eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to challenge you this morning. Are you being used of God? God has challenged me this week, and I want to challenge you through his word. So in the next few moments, you can come down to this altar. You don't have to, but at your seat, just do business with God, and I'll come back and close us. But here's my question. Are you being used for God for his glory, or are you doing it for yourself? You for the ability to be able to read your word and be challenged. God, you've challenged me this week with this. Help me first and foremost to be used of you in the way that you see fit. God, help me to know your will. Help me to know where you want me to be used. God, I pray for us as a body of believers that we will not have just this emotional revival in our lives, but that we will be used so that way it can bring you honor and glory. That's what we're here for. God, I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. God, help us to be your example. Help us to be your disciples. God, we love you and we praise you for what you're going to do through our lives. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be